You're listening to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie and co-host Todd LeDuc, episode 43.
Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Welcome to the LifeScan Wellness Center edition of the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie, and I have my co-host here, Chief Todd LeDuc. As well as our special guest today is Chief Trowernick of the UC Davis Fire Department. Welcome to the show, guys.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Chief. Thanks for joining us. And Dr. Donnie, always good to collaborate. And thanks for hosting another edition of our new LifeScan Wellness Center's podcast. So Chief, I've had the good fortune of knowing you for some time and working with you in different roles. But for those that are listening and tuning in, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of your journey on how you get into the fire service and where you are today for those that maybe aren't as familiar?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'm originally from the Midwest. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska. That's where I grew up, and it's actually where my fire service career started. I'm one of those folks in our industry who this is all I've ever wanted to do. My birthday cake for my first birthday had a fire truck on it, and I don't think it ever deviated. And I remember very clearly being maybe 12 years old and going to a home and garden show in Lincoln, Nebraska, and seeing a booth there staffed by the Lincoln Fire Department. And it was actually staffed by kids who just looked a couple years older than me. And I went up to them and asked them what they were doing, and they were fire explorers. And man, I was ready to sign up that day. But they said, you have to wait till you're 14. So I actually joined the Lincoln Fire Department Explorer Post on my 14th birthday. And throughout high school, was a fire explorer, I was the first intern to Lincoln Fire and worked in the training division. And I remember one day, my senior year of high school, going to the person who's had the most profound impact on my fire service career, former Lincoln Fire Chief Mike Merwick, and asking him, if you want to be the best in the fire service, like, what do I do next? How do I become a firefighter here in Lincoln? He said, no. You go to Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State is the West Point of the fire service. And 2 weeks later, I was in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and I ended up getting into college there. And while going to college, worked for IFSTA and FPP, Fire Protection Publications, first in the warehouse, shipping all those red books, and then as a research technician, helping to research new material. Out of college, I worked for a fire district for several years in Western Washington before coming to California in 2006 as the Deputy Chief of Operations and Deputy Chief of Operations and Prevention, which is kind of an anomaly position. I always tell people I got to argue with myself on operations versus prevention. Ended up spending some time as the fire chief in Oroville, California, before coming to UC Davis in 2008. And I've been at UC Davis now for almost 13 years, most of it as the fire chief. And I've had the great fortune to do a number of things because I'm a firm believer in giving back to the industry and to supporting the next generation. And you know, being on the board with you, Todd, of Safety, Health, and Survival is just one of really many great opportunities I've had to give back and to try to make a difference in the lives and the well-being of not just my firefighters, but firefighters across the country and around the world.
No, that's a great journey you've had, and reminds me very similar of mine. Just, you know, at that young age, having a passion, a calling. I think in my case, it was the TV show Emergency. I used to carry around a little lunchbox and call Rampart Hospital, and you know, that certainly resonated. And then sounds like you just had that calling, that knowing that this is what you want to do and where you want to serve. So thanks for sharing that. And you've got a really unique department at UC Davis in a number of ways. It's not a traditional municipal department as people might think of fire departments. Why don't you talk just a little bit about the uniqueness of what you have at UC Davis and with your department and the composition of it and the community you serve?
Yeah, absolutely. So UC Davis Fire is celebrating its 104th anniversary this year as a fire department. The UC Davis campus started as the university farm to UC Berkeley, and eventually became its own campus. And in those very early years of being the university farm and having a very agricultural mission, there were a number of significant fires that impacted the research being done. And so students, staff, and faculty formed a fire brigade that over time and distance turned into a fire department. And we currently have around 60 employees, both our career staff, and we are one of the few fire departments at a university in the country left that still has a student resident firefighter program. So even though students have been part of providing service to the campus ever since it started, the student firefighter program launched in about 1949. And they live at the campus fire station and get free room and board in exchange for work with us. They end up getting their State of California Firefighter One. They get their EMT. And it's a great, you know, life experience for them. We are unique in that we're the last campus dedicated fire department in California. There are a number of universities across the country that have their own fire department. Clemson, UConn, University of Alaska Fairbanks, Notre Dame, just to name a few. And we serve a very unique population. Our population, generally speaking, is young, right, as a college. We have a very diverse risk profile on campus. UC Davis is one of the top five public research institutions. And with that comes all the things that are being explored and pioneered and discovered. And we have to be able to mitigate the risks as the fire department that protects that and have a very high knowledge of what those risks entail. So we staff an engine and a truck company 24/7. We're the lead agency for our county hazardous materials team. We have a partner program for our student firefighter program for those who maybe aren't totally sold on the fire service yet. And it's a student EMT program. They staff our campus events, football games, concerts, those kind of things. But we found that it's a real great way to get people who maybe hadn't considered the fire service as an opportunity for them or as a career, to gradually expose them to what we do. And it's certainly helped to make our department more representative and more inclusive of the community that we serve. We're also unique in that a big part of our operation ties directly to the academic mission of the university. We run an EMT certification program that was just recognized as the number one hands-on EMT certification program in the country. And in 2 weeks, we start a paramedic certification program. And both of these are open to the public. Our EMT program wait list is usually between 300 and 400 people a quarter. So it's gotten extremely popular. And we're very excited about where our paramedic program is going to take us. But it's important as a fire department on a university campus that we aren't just something that people walk by or drive by. We believe our fire department is a destination, and we've worked very hard to create it as such and to marry it up to the academic mission of UC Davis.
Yeah, that's, having had the opportunity to spend some time in your shop, you really are almost a mega city within a city, with such, diverse, as you put it, diverse risk. You know, you've got laboratories, you've got agricultural, you've got community housing, campus housing, daytime population swell. That is definitely fantastic and unique. And you're also creating a pipeline, right, for the next generation of the fire service. So it's a great, great special thing you have at UC Davis, and obviously very proud of it, as you should be. I wanted to touch a little bit on obviously you've had a focus during your career. You're on the board with me of Safety, Health, and Survival section. You've put an emphasis on firefighter health and wellness. What made your decision to bring LifeScan Wellness Centers into the department? And then, for our listeners out there, when you think of a college-based fire department, you think, as you said, really young firefighters, probably low occupational health risk early in their career, but maybe not, right? We continue to learn of the impacts of firefighting on our occupational health. So maybe if you can share some of your experience. I know you've had a couple of findings that really I'd love to have you just share with our listeners and our viewers and the impact that's had on the department and even the region for that matter.
Yeah, absolutely. So to start with, my interest in safety, health, and survival is if you love this job, you gotta love the people in it. There's lots of personalities, but if you love the job, you, I believe, as a chief, want to do everything you can to protect them, to make sure that they go home at the end of the shift, to make sure that they get a retire, and to make sure that they get to have a quality of life when they retire. The job is very physically demanding. We know the exposure risk. Todd and I have had this conversation many times. We are just now starting to really just hit the tip of the iceberg on what the exposure risks are. And so the decision to bring LifeScan Wellness is one where, we've, as the entry team for the hazardous materials team in our county, we've had hazmat physicals for decades, right? But I still remember going to FRI in Atlanta, and I don't remember the year, but walking past the LifeScan booth there and being approached and asked if I'd heard about their services, and I hadn't, and I had some downtime, and what I was told was the depth and intricacy of what an annual medical physical really could be. And then they took me into an exam room, and they did a version of the full life scan exam. And I was nervous. I was nervous to not know what I didn't know. It was like almost a shock as to how freaked out I got all of a sudden. But then afterwards, the comfort in the knowledge, right? I'm not a perfect physical specimen by any stretch of the imagination, but it gave me great reassurances in areas that, you know, from a hereditary standpoint, I was concerned about. It gave me reassurances from an occupational exposure risk that I was worried about. And I thought, this has got to be something that I do for my people. I can't believe everybody isn't doing it. And so we've now contracted with LifeScan Wellness Centers. This will be our fourth year of receiving the service. And I remember announcing, you know, first having the conversation with our labor leadership at UC Davis Fire and saying, look, I have zero interest in punitive action. I know some places may tie this to the ability to work in those kind of things, but I am interested in people knowing their risk, understanding their health, and as a department, receiving aggregate information to build programs that where there are trends that we can do meaningful things to help support people living healthier lives. And I think it was interesting because, you know, I said at the end of the day, there's really nothing punitive that I can do that is more impactful than an employee having the knowledge and having an issue that needs to be addressed and looking at a mom, a dad, a sister, a brother, a spouse, a child, and just saying to themselves, I'm not going to do anything about this. And what we tell people is that, you know, their experience with LifeScan is confidential to them. If they want help, all you do is say the word and we will leverage every resource we have to help you. That's all you have to do. You want to handle it privately? That's great too. We just want you to know your baseline. We want you to monitor changes in your health. And we want to be here for you in every way we can if we need you. And LifeScan, the great thing is they come, and we were the first department in California. I'm very proud of the fact that we're the first fire department in California. And I didn't know what to expect when at that first one, I'm like, how are they going to bring all this stuff with them? But the logistics are spectacular. You know, weeks before boxes start showing up and schedules start being pushed out. And when the time comes, it's seamless. And then we also, started hosting, some lunches, with chiefs from throughout the region to let them see for themselves what LifeScan was about. I mean, I was just so impressed. And, every year that we've done this, we have provided a handful of the spots that we pay for to other departments around us to come and participate. That's how much I believe in it. And that's how much of an impact it's had on me and our organization is that we want other people to come and experience it and go back and bring it to their organization. And I'm sure this resonates with you, Todd, but as a chief officer, there's not a lot of times people say thank you for what you do. It's just part of the job.
True.
But I've had so many people say thank you for LifeScan. It's been very borderline emotional for me, knowing that I'm truly making a difference. The bringing the program to UC Davis Fire is changing lives. And you mentioned findings. You know, we've had a lot of findings of various levels of severity. And again, only some that I know of, because some people choose to keep things themselves. But there's been some very serious ones that people have been able to get early diagnosis because of screening and early treatment, and are on the job and are moving towards a healthy future. And there's been some issues where people have struggled with some health problems for the better part of their adult life, and through their life scan screening, an anomaly has showed up that it's been recommended they follow up their primary care physician. The primary care physicians say, I never even thought to test for that. Yes, that is why you've been experiencing that for the last 15 years of your life. And again, that's, I think, part of the value that people see in what they're getting. And we're actually looking to expand beyond our career. And I should also mention, we provide it to our student firefighters as well. So they're getting a baseline in their early 20s of their health prior to going into the industry, that if they go to a department that does this type of annual medical physical, they're going to have the full picture that a lot of us don't have. They're going to know the baseline going into the job. But we're actually going to expand and allow family members, immediate family members, and retirees to pay cost, but have access to it, because you can't get this kind of a workup anywhere. And I still remember the first time that the blood draw company came in, and the young woman who was taking my blood said, why are you guys doing this? Because it's a contracted blood draw company here. And I said, it's our annual medical physical now. And she goes, as employees of a national lab company, we don't even get access to all of these provided by our employer. Wow, that's pretty spectacular. And now we have a number of departments. I believe Yochidehi Fire Department here in Yolo County just signed on recently. And there's a number of other fire departments in our region. And then just west of us, Contra Costa County is now with LifeScan, and people are thrilled, you know.
That was an outstanding, really, overview of the process that you went through and bringing it in, the results. And it's one of the reasons why Todd and I, we sort of, you know, he asked me, he goes, hey, do you want to co-host with me? Because, and Chief, you know, this is the first time that we've met, but my work-life balance work has been about self-care. It's like the self-care is foundational to having a balanced life. And when you mentioned about, you know, you want to get your folks to retirement and for them to have a nice retirement and all of that, there's two things that I think we often think about when we think about retirement. One, I mean, of course, people think about money, but besides the money, if we put that to the side, is, are we going to have our health? And are we going to have our family? You know, have we taken care of the family during the journey of our career? Have we prioritized them in addition to our career and our health and everything like that? Can you talk a little bit? Because that's where I go with work-life balance. It's like, you know, we need our health and we sure need our family. And can you talk a little bit about how is the family treated? And you, I can tell that you prioritize family just as a leader, because you said a few minutes ago how you're going to open this up to family members. So that immediately is like, oh, wow, family's important to you then. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's it's not just the fire service, right? Law enforcement, healthcare in general, nurses, really anybody who work shift work, there's challenges around health, family, striking a balance, right? And I have really almost been kind of taken back by the new generation of firefighter that I see coming into the workforce. I feel the passion. They've got that same passion that little 14-year-old Nate had. But they also want to be parents. They also want to be good spouses. They are driven, but not willing to sacrifice their health or their family for their drive. There's folks like Todd and I who have accomplished a lot, and we've really worked a lot and at some expense, right? And I often tell our new generation that I'm a little envious, and a lot of folks that are in my age range say the same thing. They're envious when this new generation comes to work. They're here, they're dedicated, they're getting the job done. But when they leave, they're doing a better job of separating than we ever did, of disconnecting, right? And it's interesting because our department runs about 1,200 calls a year. So we, in a number of our recent hirings, people have actually been in the process with some metro departments and ended up choosing to come work for UC Davis Fire. And for years, we were kind of a puppy mill. You know, small agencies have a hard time with retention and recruitment because, you know, you aren't doing enough of the big jobs. And to have the number of people that we've had come to us in interviews say, number one, we love the innovation. Number two, we love the feeling of family and inclusivity in your organization. That's obvious. And number three, I want to be a great firefighter, but I also want to be a great mom, a great dad, a great spouse, a great son, a great daughter. And no offense to my friends in metro departments, that can be extremely challenging in busier organizations. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something really unique that we offer that was never planned, right? It just is the natural occurrence of things. But we do a lot of really cool other things when we aren't running calls. Like we have a very progressive health and wellness committee. And, you know, one of the first departments in the North State to have a post-incident decon program. One of the first in the North State to institute particulate filtering hoods. We are now through our recent purchase of Initech for our turnouts, one of the first to have a cancer reduction system in our turnouts. Turnouts that are athletic cut and made for the firefighter athlete, as a lot of people call it. We have a safety committee that just looks at our oopsies, right? Which the interesting thing is, a lot of them in our department are related to our exercise and workouts. You know, so we've instituted a culture of health and well-being that permeates not only within the organization, but I think also transfers to people's families and inspiring healthy choices and healthy lifestyles in people's families. I'm proud of our fire department and our people for the emphasis that they've put on this idea of wellness.
Well, you covered a lot there, Chief, and I think we've often said and we talk about, and one of the reasons I was drawn to Donnie was kind of it's all intertwined, right, between the balance, the physical wellness, the behavioral wellness. I know at LifeScan, that's what we try to screen for, to try to cover all those aspects and provide coaching. But you clearly have taken it to the next level in terms of building that as a culture within the organization. So it speaks to your leadership and it shows. It certainly shows. So for that, kudos, and you're leaving, you know, the next generation with a great blueprint for success. So something to be very proud of. I want to be mindful of our time, but I do want to touch on. I mean, you've really been a leader, not just in California, in bringing programs like LifeScan. The old adage is no secrets in the fire service. So when you find something special, the word gets out and now we literally are expanding throughout the entire state with the program. But also you've really been had a forefront, kind of the tip of the spear with the pandemic in the work that the fire service has really been thrust into. We've always said fire service is an all hazard provider. And sometimes we don't, think pandemics is part of that, but just a little bit over a year ago, that was certainly thrust onto the radar of the global fire service, not just America. But I know we just recently came off a board call. We were talking about long-term health implications, even to first responders who have been exposed. Can you just touch on a little bit of the journey that you all have had with, certainly with the West Coast being one of the earliest impacted in the country? Is kind of touch on what your thoughts are in terms of where you've been as a department, as an organization with your members, and then where you see it going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So last year, I was with you in Florida, in Miami, at the Firefighter Cancer Institute Symposium. And I flew straight from there to Boston, and our department received a number of collegiate EMS awards. And then I stopped in Nebraska on my way back to California because my dad was having prostate cancer surgery. And I remember sitting with him while he was recovering and hearing about COVID-19, the coronavirus. Omaha, Nebraska is actually home to one of the national infectious disease quarantine facilities. And the first US COVID positive case was being flown in to Omaha while I was with my dad. And it was a big wait and see, right? Like we'd heard about it for several months, but from an international perspective. And I think probably like most people, it kind of reminded us of the imagery of when Ebola was occurring, and you were seeing the similar PPE and, people being flown in to these type of facilities. But what a different course it took. And by the time I landed back here in California, Santa Clara County, just a couple counties west of us, was kind of one of the first spots here in California where we saw cases. And actually the first patient in California was treated at our UC Davis Medical Center. And because of that, we as a department, I like to think we're very early in the conversations around firefighter PPE and procedures for responding to patients with respiratory illness. We created a best practice policy that was revised a number of times and shared out nationally, both on what type of PPE to wear, how to decon, how to reuse, and then in terms of incident response, best practices for providing patient care. And I think that set the tone for our department, that initial document, and really quick adoption of both information that was coming out of the CDC, World Health Organization, and our own experts within UC Davis Health and in our research centers. And we had no COVID positives until later in the summer. The majority of our employees, which was very few, who did test positive, did not appear to have contracted it from the workplace. And it's interesting because UC Davis in late summer started work on converting a agricultural machine used in development of plants and seeds and those kind of things into a high throughput saliva-based asymptomatic COVID testing machine. And when students came back, they had to go and submit a saliva sample every week. And it became a certified testing process. And now what was just students is now, which was once a week, is now every 3 to 4 days, they go in for asymptomatic testing. It takes about 5 minutes, get test results back in 12 to 24 hours. It's all staff and faculty now as well. It expands, and we have quarantine dorms on campus that the fire department actually provides transport for students from their residence to the quarantine dorm, so that no one else is impacted potentially by that exposure. And then we also provide transport for those close contacts. So there's contact tracing that goes on, and we provide transport service for those individuals to go to the quarantine dorm. And the quarantine dorm, they, you know, everything is provided to them, everything down to meal delivery service. And that's where they wait out their quarantine. And now we've shifted once again. And we were the first fire department in the state of California. As the fire department, we are the primary vaccinators. And it's, I got to tell you, in the last 12 months, it's the best thing I've done is being a vaccinator, because the only thing that hasn't felt like you're trying to catch the ball, you're actually moving it forward. And we've done, I think, as an organization, a tremendous job of pivoting as call volume has dipped slightly during the pandemic, to being a part of the solution and to being very progressive and proactive in supporting and helping our community during this time. And because of that, you know, we're fortunate that our community's impact has been less significant than so many other places in the U.S.
For sure. And, you know, it shows again, you know, you really were on the tip of the spear very early on. As you said, kind of re-engineered, and you mentioned Santa Clara County. There, our friends there are just joining as partners with LifeScan as well. And you know, we've talked to Nate about, you know, the concerns with those that have been exposed, and the, you know, long hauler effect, and first responders that have all this coming at them behavioral health wise. And so, it's, to me, it's reassuring that we've got great health baselines in place. So hopefully that can help us notice even subtle changes over time as we continue perhaps to deal with the residual, the long lasting effects, whether that's behavioral, or physical. So
you make a really great point there, Todd. And I just have to say that, you know, the thing that we've learned about our experience is this impacts everyone differently. COVID doesn't seem to have a solid game plan across the board for what it does to people. And you make such a good point there about the existing baseline being in place, because for everyone who contracts it, the experience is different. The impact to the body seems to be different. And I just I had to call out what a great observation that was, because it's just another reason why it's so important that we are doing these annual medical physicals now and moving forward.
Yeah, I certainly echo that. And I think we both have, you know, for probably most of our career, emphasize the importance of annual physicals, but it probably now more than ever is impactful. So I know we've spent a good amount of time together today. I know your schedule is busy, and I appreciate you taking a good amount of time out of your busy day to share some thoughts and some insights. Hopefully our listeners, I'm sure, will take away a number of great insights that you've offered today. I know I have. And hopefully we'll be able to have you back on as we continue to build out this series. And I always enjoy spending time with you and hearing your thoughts and wisdom and seeing how things are on the other side of the country. And hopefully we'll be able to do some of this in person sooner rather than later as we get back to hopefully some sense of normalcy. So Chief, thanks for your leadership. Thanks for your time. Stay safe. Donnie, thanks again for co-hosting today with me. It's an honor.
Absolutely.
And until next time, when we have our next series of LifeScan Wellness Centers podcast, stay safe out there, stay well, and thank you.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.